When someone gets married, they make promises. They make a promise to be faithful. When you join the military, you make a commitment that you will follow the authority of the government of the United States. Most jobs that you get, there's a contract of trust, compliance, obedience to the rules and the regulations that govern that particular business. I think we're all quite familiar with the idea of making a commitment to something, being true to that commitment, being faithful to what we say. This morning, I would like for us to really continue the idea of being obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We've talked at quite a length of talking about hearing the gospel and believing it and repenting of our sins and confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in our lives. Being baptized to contact the blood to have our sins washed away. And our Lord, He said that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But once we become born again and we're a new creature of Christ, we find that the teaching of Jesus Christ is that we be committed to, we be faithful to the covenant relationship that we have made with God. Now, we've yet to talk about the idea of covenant, an agreement. We'll talk about that one day. Suffice it to say that when you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, here's basically the covenant you are making. The deal, if you will. Jesus says, if you will obey Him, He'll forgive your sins. That forgiveness is continual as long as we continue to obey Him. He is trustworthy. He is faithful. He keeps His promises. We must keep our promise as well to live and be forgiven continually. But like most of us, we break our commitment. We break His trust. We fall. We make mistakes. We seek after our will. We do what we want to do. Hopefully our hearts are such that when we sin, we realize the betrayal of trust. We realize the broken commitment that we made. And we come back to our Father, as did the prodigal son, petitioning just to be a servant. But it is our Father's great love and mercy that He will receive us back not just as a servant, but as a son. Our Lord, He spoke to one of the seven churches of Asia in the book of Revelation. He said, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." These churches in Asia were suffering persecution. And the commitment they made to the Lord to be forgiven of their sins, their commitment was to be continual even through persecution. we should be very thankful that we live in a time and a place where we're not persecuted like they were for our faith. But it's a bit ironic that when we look at history, when Christians were being persecuted the worst, there were great people of trust and obedience to God that remained faithful through the most difficult of times. And yet we have a very peaceful way of life, and probably many of us struggle with being trustworthy in our commitment to our Christ. So this morning, I want to talk to us about being faithful. Faithful to our commitment, the covenant we made with God, yea, that He made with us, teaching us that He would forgive us all of our sins if we would remain faithful. And the ultimate is that we'll spend eternity in heaven with God. The ultimate of that commitment that we make to God, yea, that God graciously committed to us, is that we will have a home in heaven one day for eternity. So let's talk about faithfulness this morning. Well, first of all, this particular word is a very common word, and it's used in the New Testament a number of times. And there's about four different ways this word is used. But the way I want to look at it as used in regards to this commitment really has to do with being trusted. So I want you to think this morning with me as we study, when you became a Christian and you went down into the water and you had every sin washed away, you trusted that Jesus did what He said He would do. Wash away all your sins. Do you trust that? Do you believe that happened when you were baptized? What God wants us to do then is to continue to be trusted, to be obedient to Him. The question is, have we been trustworthy? The word also is used to mean reliable. If you have an alarm clock and it doesn't keep good time, for whatever reason, it just doesn't keep good time, and you have to get up in order to go to work at a certain time, to be at work a certain time, because your boss trusts in you and relies on you to be there and do your job. How long would you have your job if you kept that unreliable clock and every day you're late to work? Every day you're late. Some bosses may be very tolerant of that. Many bosses are not tolerant to that. If you're supposed to start work at 8 o'clock, you need to be there 8 o'clock, ready to go. So if the clock is keeping you from being reliable and trustworthy, you need to get another clock. God wants you to be faithful. Are you reliable? Can He count on you to be there for Him? We're not just talking about church services. We're talking about to be there for Him and confess Him everywhere you are. Believing. This idea that is used in the New Testament is that we are believers. True believers. We don't doubt. We don't question. We believe. We have confidence. These four basic ideas of faith has all to do with being a faithful Christian. If then you trust the Lord and you can be trusted and you are reliable, we know God's reliable, we can always depend upon Him. And if we are believing, we should have great confidence about who we are, about what we're supposed to do, where we're going. That's faith. When we think about this word faith, it's used about 46 times in the New Testament, and 16 of those 46 times, it's used in regards to the faithfulness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that which you're able. A number of passages like that. So here's something that's a great blessing for us. When we are in a circumstance and we are tempted to do the wrong thing, to deny our confession that Jesus is the Son of God in our lives, God says He's not going to allow any temptation above what you can bear or deal with. And God is faithful. He's trustworthy. Now, what does He expect of us in that time? Our faithfulness. Our trustworthiness. To not give in. God's Word is said to be faithful. When you read this great book, it is reliable. It is trustworthy. And it's important that when we read this great word, that we understand that it is faithful. We read the pages of this book, and it's the same yesterday, it's the same today, and it's the same tomorrow. You can rely on that. We find in the Scriptures that the very idea of the five and the two talent servants, you remember what the Lord, when He returned, said to them, "Well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful in a lot, I'll make you owners of much." Well, when you consider what these men did, they were given a responsibility. And they went out and they served the Lord faithfully. He relied upon them. They were trustworthy. But the one talent man, he buried his talent. He didn't do anything. You remember the Lord's reaction to him? So this great parable is told and is meant for our learning. God gives each one of us talents and abilities. What are we supposed to do? We go out into the world and we serve Him. We use our talents to be considered faithful. The church at Ephesus is referred to as the faithful church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus was trustworthy. It was reliable to do what God commanded it to do. You know, one of the great blessings that we can enjoy in a faithful church is that you can attend any time and that church is going to adhere to God's Word. The Lord's Supper is going to be offered when it's supposed to be. The church is faithful to that ordinance of God every first day of the week. It's important that the Anderson Church be regarded as a faithful church, reliable, trustworthy. Some great examples of faith we find in the Scriptures. That there were some who were said to have had great faith. I'm not going to turn and read all of these stories, but I want you to remember that in the book of Luke chapter 7, there was this centurion, and he had someone sick at home, and he sent for Jesus to come and to heal. And before he got there, Jesus sent someone and said, "Look, you don't even have to come. I too am a man under authority. And if I say to this one, go, he goes," and so forth. He says, "All you have to do is just say the word, and that will be good enough. I know that my servant will be healed." And Jesus responded and said, "I have not seen such great faith, no, not in Israel." Now you think about that for a moment. Here's a Gentile man who has someone sick, and he trusts and believes so strongly that Jesus doesn't even have to be there personally in order for him to heal. That was great faith, and that's what Jesus called it. Maybe we feel like in our lives, well, if Jesus was just right here with me, then, and you fill in the blank. But if we had the faith of this centurion, you know, Jesus is in heaven and we are here. He doesn't have to be right here personally. He can transcend all of time and space, and he can still do exactly what we need. That's great faith. We also find that there were those who had little faith. When we read in the book of Matthew chapter 14, Peter was walking on the water, you recall. And when Peter walked on the water, he did walk on water for a short period of time. He took his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink, right? Jesus then said, "Why do you have such little faith?" Here is an apostle, and he's already confessed that he believes he's the Son of God. And yet, he had little faith and began to sink. That could be us too. There may be days that we have great faith. Then there may be days that we have little faith. Faith is something that can come and go. So it's something you have to constantly be aware of. There were those who were condemned that had no faith. Jesus in the boat, we studied that a few weeks ago, with his disciples, the great storm. He calmed the storm. And then he turned and rebuked them and said, "Where is your faith?" Brothers and sisters in Christ, even if we've been members of the church for many, many years, our faith is something we have to protect. Our faith is something that has to continually be renewed and increased. Because just the constant bombardment that we receive from this old world, it tests us, it challenges us. And faith is so obvious that sometimes we miss it. Have you ever lost something at home? You can't find it. And you look in every drawer, you look at every closet, you can't find it. You probably even get into an argument with your spouse or your children that they've misplaced it or put it somewhere or hid it. And then all of a sudden, just out of the blue, there it is, right out in the very opening, right under your very nose. Now I know that we've all been there and done that. Faith can be like that too for us. We can take it for granted and we can lose it, and it's so obvious to us. It's important for us to understand that from the Scriptures, people can be weak in faith. The book of Romans chapter 14 deals with the brother of strong faith and a brother of weak faith. We all understand, do we not, that each and every one of us are on different levels of faith. Some weak, some strong. Well, how does the strong deal with the weak? And how does the weak deal with the strong? Paul addresses that in Romans 14. And basically we would say this, is that the strong must be very, very careful at not offending the one that is weak. Now here's the problem with that passage. Well, there are a plethora of problems that men create with that passage. I'm not here to discuss that. I'm here to simply say this. You know what's tough? Is getting any brother to admit he is the weak brother. Because we like to think of ourselves as always the strong brother. And here's a simple fact. Many of us are not strong. We are the weak brother. And we don't even realize it. Well, there is a sincere faith. This word sincere has to do with without hypocrisy. Your faith in Jesus Christ. Why do you come to church? Because, fill in the because. Am I here because I love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength? That's supposed to be the reason. But do people feign love and faith? In other words, do we fake it? Do we pretend? Do we dress and act and speak like we're really strong? But we know in our hearts we are not. We're pretending to show ourselves to be something we are not. And we know it. But see, that's not sincere faith, is it? What if the weak really portrayed themselves as weak? What if those who had little faith really portrayed themselves as little faith? Well, that would be very obvious, would it not? Let me let you in on a little secret. God knows who you are. You can't fake it with God. And those that are strong Christians, you can't fake it with them either. Because they can see it. Let me give you an example of how that works. Elders are supposed to be strong men, right? Their qualification is to be strong in faith, faithful. The reason, when qualified, they serve as shepherds is they can tell when a sheep is sick. The sheep that is sick doesn't think it's sick. The disciple that is weak doesn't think he's weak. That's why when a Christian misses services or doesn't read their Bible or goes out and does things in the world, and then when an elder or a shepherd would talk to them about that, the sheep acts like, well, what did I do wrong? Well, what's the problem? They don't understand. The parallel would be that in regards to you and your children. A small child is innocent in many ways, but yet innocent in the fact of not understanding the real truth of right and wrong. So they may participate in wrong, and when questioned or corrected, they don't understand what the problem is. You see, faithfulness and unfaithfulness is quite obvious. It's just that those that are insincere, hypocritical, don't understand that people can really see their hypocrisy. That's how the devil fools you. sound faith is referred to in Titus 2 and verse 2. Sound is a word that was used in the first century as a medical term, meaning healthy, well. If I ask you, how are you doing spiritually? Oh, I'm healthy, I'm well. Are you? Well, faith is demonstrated. Faith is obvious. And when a person... How you doing? Oh, I'm fine. No, you're not. You're sick. Most of us would not in any way reply that way to someone who was not sound. But I'm convinced the true love that is exhibited from the strong toward the weak is that the same as a parent does to a child. Honey, you are sick. You've got a temperature. You're coughing. You need some medicine. I'm not taking no medicine. It's nasty. No, I'm not taking it. Here, eat your chicken noodle soup. No, I'm not eating no chicken noodle soup. That's the way Christians act. You see the parallel? That's why a shepherd, that job is not a job most people want to line up and take on. Because you have to deal with people that don't realize they're sick. Well, if you want to be sound in the faith, you've got to get healthy. You've got to have a good faith. A good faith is that which you're trustworthy, you're reliable, and it's good. If you're going to try to get a job somewhere and through application, through interview, all of this sort of thing, sometime through the process, they may go back and check your other employers and so forth, and they might ask, are they reliable? Are they trustworthy? Do they steal? Do they do drugs? Etc., right? And what you're hoping comes through in that interview is the fact that, oh, this person has, they're reliable, they're trustworthy, they have good faith, and that is, they are committed. They will be a good worker. You can trust them. You can put them in with the money. You can put them in with your children. I mean, they're just good people. That's what this idea is. Good faith. Good faith. Rich in faith. We as Americans, many of us will say, well, I'm not rich. You know, Gates is rich. Or Trump, he's rich. I'm not rich. We're all rich. But if we do want to just look at the dollar sign idea, then certainly Trump, billionaires, rich. And we are not that rich. Now make a spiritual application. Are we rich in faith? How much do we have in the bank? That's a question that you don't ask people unless you're going to borrow money. And then they ask you. But how much money do you have in the bank? In savings, IRA, etc. Property. You see, the Lord knows how rich you are in faith. Can you tell by looking at a disciple that they are poor or rich in faith? Can you tell? How can you tell? By the way they come in Bible class. By the way they conduct their lives. By the reliability at church services. That there are people that really cannot connect those kinds of dots. If, as it has been said, you attended your job like you attend regularly worship services, would you continue to have a job? There are folks that out of 4 times a week to be here are here maybe 1 time. How does that relate in any shape, form, or fashion to being rich in faith? You make the same excuses with the church, make it at your job. How long will you keep a job? You can't go to church on Sunday, but we can go to work on Monday. Are we rich in faith? Most people don't like to hear that. But that is an application of faith. Abraham grew strong in faith. And not only did he grow strong, but this Romans 4 and verse 20 passage says, he did not waver in unbelief. That is the thing that is so amazing about the friend of God, Abraham. And why he is mentioned so many times in the entire Bible is because of that one statement. Not only was he faithful, he did not waver in unbelief. I must very humbly and sadly admit to you, in 40 plus years of preaching, my faith has wavered. There are times just like you that I haven't been as reliable and trustworthy as I could have been. But what is said of Abraham, he did not waver. I wish that could be said of me. I wish that could be said of you. We all make mistakes, brethren. But don't use that as a cop-out. Well, we just all make mistakes. We all do things that are wrong. And then just go on and do another wrong. That's not faith that God is asking us to have. He is asking us to be unwavering. Stephen was full of faith. Do you get the idea? Full of faith? Jesus Christ was a faithful high priest. I'll ask you a very simple question. Abraham, Stephen, Jesus Christ, physically in the body, members of the Anderson Church. They going to be here on Wednesday night? That's a simple question to answer. They're going to be here on Sunday night? What would we say about these three? Oh, they're faithful. Everywhere I go and preaching in other churches and so forth, somebody will introduce me to somebody, and invariably, at some point in time, somebody will say this, oh, here's brother so-and-so. Oh, they're one of the most faithful members we got. What do they mean by that? I've yet to have anybody introduce somebody and say, oh, this is one of the weakest members we got. Now here's the deal. We're all sitting here saying, as many times as I come to church, I'm justified. As many times as I don't read my Bible, I'm justified because I'm special. And you are not special. God demands of me the same He demands of you. Faithfulness. We need to adjust. We need to do better. And I mean me. And I mean you. Here's faithfulness. Abraham, Stephen, Jesus Christ. That's faithfulness. Now where am I? Where are you in relation to that? I got more work to do. Don't you? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. What did Jesus mean? Well, you can just half hit at it. You can just miss when you want to. You can just read your Bible when you want to. When you said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, really what you meant was, is that I'll, you know, if I have time and I feel good and, you know, it's not any trouble or whatever, I don't have this and that to do, I'll serve the Lord. Is that what the Lord asked you to do? No, He said to be trusted. If your spouse was as trustworthy to you as you are to the Lord, would you divorce her? Think about that. Are you reliable? Do you believe? And do you have confidence? Can you, in all good conscience, when we stand to sing this invitation song, I'm exactly what I ought to be in the Lord. I have confidence. You know, Paul had that kind of confidence. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I want you to think about that verse as we stand and sing this invitation song. And just ask yourself this simple question. Am I faithful to the Lord? If we can help anyone to a greater service, to do better, to serve the Lord better, we want to pray with you. We want to help encourage you any way we can. Do your best. Do your best. Very rarely do we find people anymore that do their best. We tend to want to do what we can get away with. And in most churches, brethren get away with a lot. But we're not going to get away with it. That's the point of the lesson. I may overlook it, or I may look the other way. Will God? If God says to you, well done, good and faithful servant, the way you're living, you trust that and you believe that, go for it. Are you confident that you're going to get to heaven living the way you're living? That's the question you must answer. If we can help you this morning, won't you come as we stand and sing?
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood.